Welcome back to Uprising. I'm Sonali Kohatkar. Goldman Sachs is celebrating today. The investment conglomerate that profited off of the subprime mortgage crisis posted its highest earnings in 5 years, with its net income growing by 40% to $2.84 billion. The numbers surpassed all economic estimates. Meanwhile, a new report this morning found that CEO pay in the U.S. jumped by more than 12% last year, even as millions of American workers continue to struggle with depressed wages, no benefits, irregular schedules, or even no jobs at all. A growing movement is now fighting back, sick and tired of the obscenity of inequality. Thousands of workers around the country from a wide variety of industries walked out of their jobs yesterday in hundreds of cities to demand a minimum of $15 an hour in wages. A growing coalition of organizations, unions, and individuals representing the fast food, retail, service industries, and even academia joined together. The Guardian dubbed it the largest protest by low-wage workers in U.S. history. Even presidential candidate Hillary Clinton, who's eager to campaign on a populist platform, tweeted, quote, "Every American deserves a fair shot at success. Fast food and childcare workers shouldn't have to march in streets for living wages." A starting point for the fight for higher wages and the right to a union began with about 200 fast food workers in New York City only 2 years ago who walked out of their jobs in protest. Yesterday's tax day demonstrations marked a new stage in organizing that has challenged cities, states, and the federal government and the business world to pay workers a living wage. In New York, up to 10,000 people marched in the streets. In Los Angeles, where this program is based, more than 1,000 workers gathered near downtown and marched in a raucous demonstration. The uprising crew was at the demonstrations, and I spoke with several workers about why they were there.
My name is Sophia Chang, and I'm a community organizer with Rock LA, which is the Restaurant Opportunity Center of Los Angeles.
And so are members of this organization here today. What is their main reason for being here?
Rock LA, we are a worker center for restaurant workers in Los Angeles, and we're here today to fight for $15 as part of a comprehensive package to raise the minimum wage, have real enforcement of wage and hour laws, and to also get paid sick days. And today the focus is really on a $15 minimum wage.
And I'm assuming that restaurant workers are particularly hard hit by low wages because their wages are often dependent on tips?
That's exactly right. Restaurant workers, the majority, front of house, back of house, make minimum wage. The median income for a restaurant worker in Los Angeles is $15,600. So that's hovering right at the minimum wage level. And the restaurant lobby, the corporate restaurant lobby, the California Restaurant Association, has actually been fighting to create a sub-minimum wage for restaurant workers. What they're proposing is that restaurant workers, and anybody who makes tips, should continue to make $9, the minimum wage, and they're supposed to supplement the rest by tips. So we're here to say $15 for everybody, and then also for all tipped workers too, need a minimum wage.
How amazing is this gathering? It's one of many happening around the country, and it's not just workers in the service industry or the fast food industry. It's a pretty big coalition.
Today is really amazing. You can see all around you. It's a mix of workers' rights group. Faith leaders are out here. There's a lot of students from USC because we're right by USC, which is a huge density of fast food restaurants. And so I think today is just one part of actions across the nation. It's a growing movement for wage justice and the idea that someone working full time shouldn't be living in poverty.
So are restaurant workers also demanding a union?
Restaurant workers, there are some unions for service workers. So, for example, Unite here, Local 11 here locally in Los Angeles, they represent some restaurant workers. I think the point that we're trying to make is, union or not, everyone deserves a living wage and also enforcement of all wage and hour laws.
And so, at this point, you have in a city like Los Angeles some support from city council, from the mayor. And so there is a big difference when you have elected officials who at least pay lip service to higher minimum wages.
I think it really reflects the organizing and just the movement across the nation. It's inevitable now, it feels like, to raise the minimum wage, and everybody here is just going to continue pushing for that.
Do you feel that the issue of $15 an hour and raising the minimum wage should be looked at not just as an economic justice issue, but also as a racial justice issue? I see primarily people of color here.
I'm really glad you brought that up because it's absolutely a racial justice issue, and I'd also say gender justice issue. So, you know, I'm with Rock, so I can speak a little bit more about restaurant workers in particular. But one of the reasons why we're saying $15, you know, livable wage for everybody is because we know that service workers are disproportionately people of color and women of color. When you looked at the tipped workforce, you know, one reason we absolutely oppose a subminimum wage for tipped workers is because over 60% of the tipped workforce in Los Angeles are women. And women tipped workers make less than male tipped workers. So for example, I'll just throw out some more statistics. You know, 70% of API workers, Asian Pacific Islander workers, and Latino workers make less than $24,000 a year with tips. So it's absolutely a racial justice issue and a gender justice issue.
Are people risking their jobs by showing up today? Have people taken the day off or walked out of their jobs?
I know there's a lot of fast food workers here who are going public, you know, maybe for the first time, some repeatedly, you know, the demand for a livable wage. And I think the point is that there's so much community support here. The message to workers is that you have a lot of support, and if you come out in an organized way, you're going to have more people backing you up.
Are you optimistic that $15 is an achievable goal in the near future?
I think the writing's on the wall. You know, this is only one of many actions across the U.S., so I think we're all moving towards a livable wage, and workers and community members are at the front lines fighting for that.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sonali.
My name is Rachel Roski, and I'm an adjunct professor at the Roski School of Art and Design.
And you are asking for $15 an hour minimum wage?
Well, we're working with the larger group of people asking for $15 minimum wage, like fast food workers and so forth. At USC, we're actually organizing the faculty, the non-tenured faculty, you know, the not full-time contracted faculty, asking for fair wages, transparency, health benefits.
How poorly are, I mean, one might imagine that professors tend to make better money and have better, you know, incomes than fast food workers.
Yeah, it's actually like a total misconception because that's how it was in the past. When I was in school, most of my professors were full-time and they made a decent living. But nowadays, I have to teach at four different colleges. I teach at four different classes at three different colleges to make ends meet. And I have no health care for my husband and I. Yeah.
What do you teach?
I teach painting and drawing.
And why has it gotten this way?
Well, as tuition increases, basically they've taken this corporate model of higher education where you have more money going into administration, fewer full-time jobs, and then they're getting their most of the professors on the cheap, you know, for adjunct, part-time, that we're told semester at a time. We get paid by the class, and we don't know from semester to semester how many classes we have. So they're saving a lot of money. It's working for them.
So
they're getting a bargain. They're getting a really great deal, and they're making a ton of money.
So it's a fast foodization of the academia?
Exactly. It's a corporate model of, you know, the 1%. You know, they have the 1% in administration that have all the power, make all the decisions with no transparency, and then the adjuncts are really the workhorses. The adjuncts and non-tenured faculty are really, you know, doing all the kind of blood, sweat, and tears of the hard work with the students on the ground, and we're the ones that are totally left out of decision making, not fairly compensated, and have no job security whatsoever.
Now, what sort of ripple effect does that have on the rest of society? Because college education is supposed to be the path to better jobs. If professors aren't being paid well and students don't have decent access to education, does that not impact people even beyond those immediately affected, like the professors?
Absolutely. I mean, it makes me question the whole higher education system in general. I mean, student loan debt, my own education. I have a very expensive, master's degree from Yale. So yeah, it makes me question the value of my own education when the jobs that were a possibility for me when I graduated that existed 15, 20 years ago, like, really don't exist anymore. It's kind of a fake dream at this point to go into, like, to have the same quality of life. It's like the middle class lifestyle that, yeah.
So if people don't have an incentive to get an education because that's not getting them a better income, There are going to be more workers available for the low-wage industries, and in a way, we're just seeing a complete devolution, it seems, of how our economy interfaces with workers.
Absolutely, absolutely, for sure.
What do you hope will happen? I mean, because if the city of Los Angeles or the state of California does give workers $15 an hour, how can that impact professors, or is this something that is up to campus administrators?
Well, I think it's, you know, the power in numbers, you know, the idea of people getting out on the street and joining together and like standing up and raising our voices and asking for better, like asking for more out of the 1% in power, you know, the 1% at the top of these corporations that pay the minimum wage. It's really like a parallel to higher ed. And I just think, you know, it could be a ripple effect from one industry to the other.
Thank you so much. Best of luck to you.
Thank you. Hi.
My name is Betty Simmons, and I'm a child care provider.
And why are you here today?
I'm here today to help the supporters, to support the families that I care for, to try to get these good wages. I'm also here today because of families that I have. I have a family client that she has education. She's a graduate of UC Riverside, and right now, since she can't find a job in her career, she has a job at Walmart making less than $10 an hour. So if this mother could get this $15 an hour, she can afford child care. Right now, if it wasn't for the agency that's helping her, she could not afford to pay me money to take care of her child. So it's a support for that, and I have a lot of families that I take care of that they don't have the means to pay. They're working two jobs, working at night, going to school, trying to provide care for their children. Some can just barely pay it, and some, if it wasn't for the agencies, they wouldn't be able to pay. But there's still thousands of family members out there who don't have accessible child care.
So it's interesting, I asked you about why you're here, and you talked about the families who are your clients rather than your own income, and that's I think you're the first worker I've talked to who's put it in that way, talking about families who can't afford your services. Whose responsibility is it to pay workers like yourself to do child care?
Well, if the families can't afford it, then there is programs that will. If the families could make the money, then they would be able to pay us for themselves. And my main thing is if they can pay it, then they'll be able to pay us for the care. And it's sometimes it's not all about you, it is for the families, but then it recycles itself. We as child care workers, when we pay our assistants, if we have them, by the time we pay for the meals we serve the children, we make less than $4.90 an hour ourselves when we get done doing all of that.
Wow.
You know, so it's been averaged out, we make about $4.98 an hour when we take care of the children for what we have to do, paying out and paying our bills. And we rely on the agencies like the families do to pay us if they're going through a program. And there's been times that I had to go and pull out my credit cards to pay my bills because the agency did not pay us on a timely manner. So it's very important to be out here today.
Do you have your own child care center?
No, not a center. I'm a licensed by the state. I'm a small child care in my home.
And so how many children do you look after every day?
I have six, and I'm in the process of getting two more, so I'll be eight children.
Do you love your job?
I love children. I love my job.
I can tell.
Yes, I do. It's all about the children, you know, and when they're away from their families, we're like second families to these children, and to also to assist and help the parents with the children, you know. So that's what it's all about. But if the parents could get this $15 an hour for the low-income workers, not just for the parents that I take care of, for the fast food workers, everybody, you cannot support a family on $9 an hour, $10 an hour. $15 would be a big boost for the whole economy.
So this is an issue where the workers who are your clients, whose children you take care of, need to make a decent wage so that you can make a decent wage so that children get taken care of. There's a lot of connections there.
It recycles itself. The parents can, it's affecting the low income. And what we really need is California needs to look into it and be able to afford early child care and education. That's what it's all about, because it's about the children for child care. But now, speaking of the child care, just for the families like the fast food workers or home care workers, we take care of people. And if they can't make the money, then they can't pay us. But it recycles itself. If they make the 15, then we all benefit from that. And even us, because like I said, $4.94 an hour is about what we average out by the time we take care of all of our expenses.
Now, how do you respond to business owners who say, well, if we pay workers $15 an hour, we'll have to close down our businesses and there just won't be any jobs and everybody will suffer?
Well, they probably would say that, but how would their businesses close? If everybody is making a decent wage, money goes back into the community, then the economy is boosted, so that's not true.
Why do you think the corporate world is so bent on paying workers so little? I mean, they have so much money. So much money has gone to the top. They have billions and trillions in profits.
Well, there's only one word I have for them, and that's greed. It's greed, because they said there is money. And what most of the businesses don't realize, without workers like us, they would have no business. They would have no business.
Thank you so much.
You're more than welcome. Thank you.
My name is Jose Paz. I'm a fast food worker at McDonald's.
My name is Mayra Flores, and I work at McDonald's.
And did both of you walk out of your jobs today, or did you take a sick day or a vacation day?
Today, I didn't walk off, but I didn't show up for work today.
Yeah, I did walk out today. I stopped the labor for McDonald's today, and I feel really great about that.
Why are you here? Why did you walk off your job?
I walk off my job because I think that we deserve respect, and that we do deserve the raise that we're asking for, to stop living in poverty, especially because people like me, I'm a single mother, it's really hard to maintain, you know, our kids. And what I really want is like to get this raise, so that would be awesome, and it would give me the tools to provide her a better future.
What is it like to be working at McDonald's? For those who don't know what it's like to be in the fast food industry, can you make ends meet at all?
It's harder than it looks. Not only it's just the labor. Sometimes they're too demanding. They take advantage of you. And not only that, they sometimes cut your hours, and sometimes you don't get paid for the weeks that you actually worked.
How do you respond when fast food industries say, well, these are stepping stone jobs for young folks who are having part-time positions before they go to school or while they're in school?
That's not true. There's parents there working for like 20, 30 years. I myself, I've been there for 10 years, and it's really not that story that they're telling. Like, there's students working there, but there's also parents working there to maintain their family. And that's why we're here, to apply for the 15 and a union.
What would $15 an hour mean personally for you in your lives? What would you be able to do now that you can't do now?
I'm a full-time student, so school tuition is expensive. So with $15 an hour, it will definitely help me a lot for my school.
And you?
To me, it would help me a lot, and not to struggle and either pay my rent or pay my bills, or even take my daughter to the doctor and provide her medication.
Do either of you get benefits through your work?
No, we don't. I don't get no benefits.
No, we don't. No.
So are you enrolled in Obamacare?
No.
No.
So what happens when your daughter falls sick?
When my daughter or I get sick, I have to take her to the doctor, but pay for that. And it comes out of my pocket, and they don't see that. That's why we're here to fight for that and get those benefits that we need and we deserve.
Those are just some of the voices that marched, of people, of workers that marched in Los Angeles and around the country yesterday as part of the Fight for 15 campaign. This is Uprising. We'll be right back.